The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin.
Heyo.
The morning of round two of the Masters.
That's right.
At Augusta. Tradition unlike any other, where we will follow the tournament all morning long. It was fascinating yesterday to follow this with the conditions worsening for the golfers as the day went on. And by worsening, I mean not weather, just impossible to stop the golf ball on some of these holes, including those par fives on the back nine late in the day yesterday. Sam Burns and Rory McIlroy are co-leaders after round one. We'll update the scoreboard here momentarily. On the show today, it is a Friday, so you know what that means. Fezzik Friday. Stevie Fezzik later on the show. Everything that's on his mind. He likes he's sort of petitioning or sort of lobbying for his segment to be called Scripted with Steve Fezzik as opposed to Unscripted with Crackman. I don't know why he wants that to be his thing.
Oh, I just thought he was playing into the joke when he texts us. You think that's more of like a hint, Kelly, get me an open mate or something?
You know, listen, there's Wishnev Wednesdays, there's Fezzik Fridays. Fezzik Fridays is where we'll stand. He'll be here, Steve will. Chris Felica will join us. He's got NFL draft thoughts. He's got horse racing plays today.
I don't even know what else this man has.
This man has stuff. He's got golf. I think some of the golfers will not have teed off by the time he gets on, so he's got some thoughts on some round two plays at Augusta today. Paul Carr, the triumphant return of Paul Carr. What have you done with him? What did you do with him? You threw him to exile.
Well, okay, whoa. First of all, it was an international break for like a week or two, and then I forgot to be at the beginning of this week the Champions League returns.
So say, there you go. That's
but
the
Premier League,
for.
We've got Paul Carr back.
Then okay? I forgot the Champions League. That's right. That answers the question. What have you done with him? We will talk to Paul Carr here. We'll do some NFL draft stuff, some more over-under and draft positions as we approach. We're less than 2 weeks away. It's so hard to wrap your head around that. After March Madness, right into the Masters, usually it's 3 weeks away. It's not. We're 13 days away from the first round of the NFL draft, so we'll discuss that as well. Sam Burns, Rory McIlroy, first round leaders, 5-under. Here's some trends, by the way. Justin Ray does such a great job on Twitter at Justin Ray Golf just through the years of providing all kinds of great golf information. But he has some sort of post-first round, entering second round trends that he wants to discuss. Before we do that, Kelly, you have a couple of head-to-heads. Let's get those out before, in case these guys are about to start.
Yes, I do. I really didn't think I was going to have any kind of shout-out to Boomer Sportsbook, actually. I was looking through the ones that got posted last night. Didn't see a bunch that jumped out to me. Well, this is the good and the bad. The bad of Boomers is I do not like when you do three-way matchups beforehand, you know, where you have the tie that comes into play. Oh, yeah. I don't want to play those. I want to play the two-way ones. But once we get into the tournament, they just go to the two-way ones. So thanks, Boomers. Jake Knapp over Akshay Bhatia. I'm going back to Knapp. Akshay had a very, very, very good putting performance yesterday. I do not know that he's going to be able to replicate that. And Cameron Young, -105 over Bryson DeChambeau. Wasn't the best round for Cameron Young yesterday, but bounced back on the back nine. And oh boy, Bryson, this is...
wasn't the best round for Bryson either.
I think the wheels are falling off for Bryson, and the approach game has not been strong for him here. Right? Traditionally, it was not good yesterday. And like you said, Gil, this is... Yeah, you'll hear these cheesy phrases all the time. It's like chipping onto an ice rink or chipping onto a glass table. That's really what it was yesterday. I mean, like you said, watching at the end, those last couple hours, Scheffler and Woodland flying those par fives.
Couldn't score just on the par fives.
Nothing you can do when you can't land the ball on the dang green. So just a warning, around the green play. That's going to become more and more and more important here.
Well, what you're saying, what we're talking about here is kind of, to me, the most interesting part about this tournament, because right now, obviously, the scores are severely muted because there just has been no weather. The scores that the course is playing as it is really hard to stop the golf ball on so many of these holes where you need to. And I wonder, heading into the weekend, like, let's say, so we have we'll update the scores here momentarily, but just know that the only person who's really playing, well, we have a couple others. Fred Couples is 1-under for the morning. Sungjae Im is 1-under for the morning through 9. Wyndham Clark is the only person who's other than that in minus numbers. He is 3-under. Oh, Aaron Rye is also 1-under through 3. Wyndham Clark is 3-under through 7. Everybody else, and it's a good number of guys, double digits for sure, into the 20s almost. Yeah, into the 20s. Even or over par already for the morning. And so right now you really do wonder what is going to be the score heading into the weekend. And at that point, Kelly, the question for me is, will the folks at Augusta decide to do something with the course?
Yeah.
You can't speed up a golf course, but you can sure slow it down by sprinkling through.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really do wonder if they make a choice. If today goes as it appears it's going to go, meaning really difficult, I wonder if they're going to make a choice to say, you know what, we don't want to be the U.S. Open. Let's make this a little bit easier. I don't prefer that. I hope they don't, but could be.
I think they will. No, you are absolutely right. I think that is the question. Because this is, you kind of, like, who are the winners from yesterday? Rory McIlroy, Sam Burns, and Augusta National, right? Like, this is, I kind of hate being that guy talking about the golf course whooping someone's ass, but, like, it was, you're watching all day yesterday. You're watching the best of the best not be able to do anything out there. So,
yeah.
I'm with you. I think it's going to be brutal again today. And then maybe they reassess things heading into the weekend. But even still, Gil, like, there's only so much they can do. And the Masters kind of has traditional pin positions, too, that they don't mess with.
They do have that.
So, like, you know, at other tournaments, you'll see them put it in easier pin positions. I don't think we're going to get that. The Masters, could they turn on the sprinklers a little bit? I guess we could see that. But I have a feeling Augusta would like to not do any of that if possible.
If possible. Again, the scoreboard right again. Sam Burns, Rory McIlroy, 5-under, 67s yesterday, co-lead. They just kind of put the number out there and no one could catch it later. Wyndham Clark, 3-under through 7, as I mentioned so far today. That means he is 2 back at 3-under for the tournament. All the other folks who are at 3-under have yet to tee off. Kurt Kitayama, Jason Day, Patrick Reed, who all had good rounds yesterday. And I really look at the guys at 2-under, Xander Schauffele, Justin Rose, Scottie Scheffler, none of whom have teed off yet today. I look at their rounds yesterday, and I think it was pretty darn good what they were able to do to keep it that way. Shane Lowry also at 2-under. Aaron Rye with his 1-under this morning through 3 is also now at 2-under. That's the scoreboard. Low debutant right now is Jacob Bridgman, who is 4 back at 1-under. He's even through 3 today. Gotterup is at even par, though, just one stroke behind him for the debutant market. Marco Pange did not have quite the round yesterday. He was 4 over. There were so many big names had terrible. I mean, the other headline yesterday was just DeChambeau 4 over.
Rahm,
Cantlay 5 over. Rahm, the big one, 6 over. Remember, we had Dave Tyndall on, and his formula came to Rahm. Yeah, not so much.
I mean, Minwoo Lee, 7 over.
6 over yesterday, 1 over already this morning through 4 for 7 over for the tournament.
Rufus popping champagne.
Rufus got that much, right?
Bobby Mack falling apart yesterday. Did you see this morning, the news this morning? Apparently, he got a slap on the wrist because
he flipped off the hole.
He flipped the bird at a hole, which yeah. I don't just I, that's Listen, just kind of funny.
Whenever you can flip the bird at an inanimate object, you got to do it.
Just don't like maybe I'll do this later. But these massive swing from the Waste Management Phoenix Open to the Masters, we're like, the guy's having a terrible day. We're really gonna get him in trouble for giving the middle finger to a hole, not a person.
Yeah,
he didn't insult a person or anything. He did do a piece of land.
I was looking at how we did that mock Splash Sports draft, 6 guys each. I think like 4 of my 6 are not going to make the cut. That's how bad my draft was.
Look, man, like we'll be real about it. I'm chasing placement markets at this point. I mean, with how hard this course played yesterday and the names that are at the top.
Yeah.
I think my outright card's dead. I'm beating myself up a little bit. I said it all week. If Rory continued to drift, I'd get in, never got in on him.
This is why this is always my thing with golf outrights. I know the Masters is a little different because the numbers are up all week, all winter long. It's, you know, I either have none or I have one or two tops. Mm-hmm. Just because I see those scenarios, right, where that happens with outrights. By the way, here's the Justin Ray stuff. Masters champions, 18 of the last 20 were in the top 10 after round 1. So that would limit it this year to Burns, McIlroy, Kitayama, Day, Reed, Lowry, Schauffele, Rose, and Scheffler. There's your list.
That's the list.
79 of 89 all time were within five after round one. 78 of 89 were in the top 15 after round one. 20 straight shot par or better in round one. Again, this is not a catch-up golf course. It's also not a mustard golf course. It is not a catch-up, catch-up, you have to say that clearly, catch-up golf course. Covers added these two. 11 of the last 12 Masters winners were in the top 11 after the first round, like how they did that. And then each of the last 12 Masters winners was ranked in the top 25 in the world rankings. So the only names left standing for those two categories, McIlroy, Scheffler, Schauffele, and Dai. Jason Dai.
Yeah. Betting against Day today. I don't think he's going to be able to keep up those putting numbers. I think I thought the best updated future bet out there, I thought was a top five on Xander Schauffele. I don't think he's going away. I liked him before the tournament. Gil, this is from the outright perspective, right? It feels very much, I know it's one round. Feels very much like it is Rory, Scotty, Xander, and we are in for a hell of a weekend of these guys battling a tough golf course.
I bet Scotty again low round today. Bet him yesterday low round. I bet him and Goddard up low round yesterday. I bet him, Scotty alone, low round today.
What was the number on that today?
14-1.
So, okay, all right.
Yeah, like 14-1.
I like it.
I feel like I have to say this after a whole Master segment. I feel like I have to say, that's what's going on at Augusta.
Dude, how good was that? So good.
Rory McIlroy, 5-under. Shout out to Chris Vernon for the Chris Vernon Show, who's been a guest on this podcast, who has gone all ham, apparently, since we last talked to him.
Buddha's man filled me in on this. I didn't know we've been doing it for years now, apparently.
That's what's going on at Augusta. All right, we'll come back. NBA getting interesting. Two more days of the NBA. 15 games today, 15 games on Sunday. That's it. Then the play-ins. We'll come back and talk about that next. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We were just having a little debate here. It's not a debate. That is exactly how we referred to it. We're talking about the Chris Vernon. Just give you an insight as to how we have stream of consciousness talks. We're talking about the Chris Vernon Masters thing. They had a great comeback for Kiefer, right?
Who the hell is Johnny Kiefer? I must be smoking on some reefer.
To which I said, that's how we referred to weed as when we were kids. To which you said, that's not an East Coast thing, because I said, maybe it's an East Coast thing. You said, that's a 50s
thing. That's a 50s thing.
No, that's how we called it. Weed is just when I was an adult.
You don't remember the hit 1936 film Reefer Madness?
I do not. I've heard of it. by the way, last thought on what I was talking about before, because it was awkward at the end there. I was thinking about not the Hornets. Obviously, the Hornets would want to get to the 7-8 from where they are, right?
Yes.
And they're 5.5-point favorites today against the Pistons, who have nothing to play for because they secured the number one seed. What I was actually thinking about was, do they really think they can get to the 6th seed? And maybe they do, maybe they don't. They're still more incentivized to play that game than the Pistons are because they have a shot at getting to the 6th seed.
They have a shot at getting to the 5 seed.
Yes. So, and that is the playoffs, not the play-in.
Right.
My thinking is, do they really think they can? And then obviously they want to win basketball games either way. Let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, because of where they're currently at, absolutely they want to win as much as they can because every spot they go up is better.
Is
for them.
Better. 5 and 6, better than 7 and 8.
5 or 6,
better
you're
than
in.
9 and 10.
7, you're hosting the play-in game against 8. And even if you're 8, you just got to win the one game and then you're in.
That's right. You want to play one game, not two. 9 and 10, you got to play two.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you lose right off the bat. Then you're donezo. Ladies and gentlemen, he's back from exile. Paul Carr joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. I have no idea why he was placed in exile until earlier on the show. Then we found out that Kelly forgot about the Champions League.
Paul, hey, Paul.
What do you have to say about you? What do you have to say about this guy right here?
I mean, I got all my Champions League bets right this week. I'm sorry you guys missed them all.
Of course.
It's a clean sweep.
I heard round robins were involved, parlays of multiple kinds. It was a really rare week
Huge
for Paul,
payday.
Too. Just how he never bets.
Never bets. Yeah. Oh, by the way,
sorry about that, guys.
I didn't give out a tennis bet on the show today because it already started. My only tennis bet had started before the show. Sorana Kirsteia +210, big dog against Mira Andreeva. They're on serve in the first set. So if anybody wanted to jump in on that, that was going well. That's why we didn't give it out at the beginning of the show. All right, back to the soccer. Paul, before we get to all of your plays here, let's talk about some macro stuff here in the Prem. First of all, Arsenal kind of wrapped this up already, basically?
Probably. I mean, they're minus 1,400 or something to win the title. We'll know for sure next week. They play Man City next week. Is that Man City? Man City is currently 9 points behind Arsenal with a game in hand. So, you know, if City wins that game against Arsenal, wins the game in hand, they're 3 points back. That's a lot of ifs. So, but yeah, I don't think there's a play to make on City or anything. I'm kind of writing my doomed future out on them. But yeah, Arsenal looks like they'll have it in hand, but they've lost a couple other cups. They had a shot at 4 trophies, and now they're down to 2 of them. So we'll see if they hang on. If they gack this, it will be an all-timer, both just in terms of, you know, just the math of it all, but also it's just Arsenal. They haven't won a league title in over 20 years, and it would just be the most Arsenal thing ever.
Right now, Champions League standings look pretty solidified. Top 4, right? Arsenal, or are we top 5 now? What are we, still top 4?
Yeah, they clinched the top. Yeah, it's normally 4, but they clinched the extra berth for doing well in Europe, so it's definitively top 5. So it's basically Liverpool or Chelsea.
That's right.
For that last spot. And Liverpool is, I think they're minus 250 or so, which is about right. Chelsea's a disaster right now, as we'll get to.
Yes, as we will get to. Okay, and then relegation. For some reason,
this
always the most interesting thing of all this, right? Something that we in American sports can only sort of fantasize about. Explain.
I mean, the bottom 3 teams are getting sent down to the second division, which costs them, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars potentially.
Jeez.
And this could be the story of the season. Tottenham is 1 point out of the relegation zone right now. Tottenham has not been relegated in my lifetime since 1977. So. And they're a mess. They just changed managers again. They're on their 3rd manager of the season. They literally have not won a league game this calendar year. So, I mean, if you want some fun for the rest of the season, I think they're like plus 160 to go down, which I think is a decent price. I'm not going nuts on it.
Wow.
But if you want, again, if you want some entertainment over the last 7 games, that's the play to me.
Last 7 games, as you said, Tottenham is in 17th place out of 20. Again, only 18, 19, and 20 go down. Tottenham's got 30 points. West Ham has 29. Burnley, that's really it. It's between Tottenham and West Ham because Burnley and Wolverhampton, they're done. Wow. West Ham, that's the Irons?
West Ham's the Irons, yeah.
You're showing off, Gil.
Well, no, it's Olivia Dean. That's Olivia Dean's favorite team. That's all I know. Irons. She keeps shouting that. Okay, to the 3-pack of plays in the Prem, what do you have tomorrow?
All right, we'll start with Arsenal. Trying to just wrap up that title as soon as they can. Arsenal-Bournemouth. I'm going both teams to score here at minus 120. Arsenal's at home. They've scored in all but one home game this season, so you think that part's a lock. Now, you get a decent price on this because Arsenal does have the best defense, but they played early in the season. It was 3-2. Bournemouth actually had more shots and expected goals, and Bournemouth hasn't lost since then. That was January 3rd, I believe. And Bournemouth's been generating opportunities lately, even if the goals have not been coming. They've been shut out a couple times recently, but they had 2 expected goals in 2 of those games. So everything seems okay for Bournemouth under the surface. Also a chance. Just mostly Arsenal. Yeah, I think they give up a goal here. Bournemouth, the style that they play should work well against Arsenal from a counterattacking standpoint. So both teams to score minus 120.
Arsenal, Bournemouth, both teams to score minus 120. BTTS. On an unrelated note, BTS, all back from military service. They're all on a global tour. Should point that out as well.
Goodness for that.
Yeah. Fulham, double chance at Liverpool. Explain the double chance to us once again.
Double chance, win or draw, or plus half a goal. You can find different names in different books. So you're getting, you know, double chance at it. That's the name. This is the old bad spot, as you like to say, for Liverpool. They had Champions League last week or on Wednesday. They lost to PSG. They host them on Tuesday. So this is one of those sandwich games that I would usually expect Liverpool to rotate a lot of guys, but their bench is really thin. Number of starters out with injuries already. So not sure which way it's going to go from a play the same tired guys standpoint or bring in some new faces standpoint, but either way, it's good for Fulham. Liverpool's lost 3 straight in all comps. Haven't looked that good in any of them. Only 1 win in their last 6. at Fulham. They're a solid mid-table team. One loss in their last five. They played fairly well on the road lately. Again, decent mid-table team. The offense has been clicking. They're sturdy defensively. So I like the shot here for Fulham double chance plus 130.
Plus 130. Fulham double chance at Liverpool. Liverpool in a bad spot. Then Sunday, Chelsea and Man City are playing. How are you playing this?
Here's your aforementioned Chelsea mess. It's mostly on the defensive side. Injuries all over the back line. A couple center backs in Colwell and Chalobah both out with injuries. Last five games in that stretch, they've given up three to Everton. They gave up eight across two games to PSG. And Man City has been looking pretty decent since they got knocked out of Champions League by Real Madrid. They beat Arsenal 2-0 in the League Cup final. They beat Liverpool 4-0 last week. The offense is really clicking. Some of the early season, mid-season transfers really starting to hum. And Antoine Semenyo from Bournemouth and Jeremy Doku has been looking great on the wing. So the offense is good. Defense has been pretty solid for City lately, actually. So I think that we're going to have a lot of goals here because it's going to open up one way or the other. And this is, again, we're at the point of the season where, you know, it's like the NBA. What matters to whom? City's really got to go for the win. They have to win this game. Then they host Arsenal next week. That's really their only shot at the title is, you know, basically win out the rest of the season. So every game's big for City. I think they'll go for it, and that'll open it up and lead to goals.
All right, Arsenal, Bournemouth, both teams to score tomorrow. Also tomorrow, Fulham double chance at Liverpool. That's at plus 130. Shop around. Sunday, Chelsea, Man City over 3.5 goals at plus 135. Paul expecting a whole bunch of goals to be scored in that one. Paul, I talk about the sports betting calendar. The March Madness leads into the Masters. Obviously, the NFL draft is right around the corner, the Kentucky Derby. And then I kind of stop there because I'm like, okay, then it's like tennis and golf majors. I keep forgetting it's the World Cup, man. It begins on June 11th, and FIFA just added new, even more expensive tiers of tickets for this year's World Cup, asking up to $4,105 for a front Category 1 seat at the U.S.-Paraguay game in Inglewood on June 12th. Last week, FIFA had asked for a top price of $2,735 for those same seats, but now added the new front category. You going to any of these, and are you paying that kind of coin?
Yes, is the short answer. I have 14 tickets to the games in Kansas City across different games.
Wow.
And so trying to figure out, you know, what do we keep? What do we sell? If I want to resell something on FIFA's site, they'll take 15% of the selling of what I sell it for. Plus, they'll take a buyer's fee for whoever's getting it that way. So FIFA is just crooks, raking in money. I have friends who have like literally last row seats at Arrowhead for $500.
What you have as bets real quick.
Let's see. Ecuador to win their group, Group E. I'll throw a golden boot at you if you're interested. Rafinha from Brazil, plus 3,300.
Okay.
I like it. You know, we're obviously early, things could change, but if you want a long shot right now, Rafinha, golden boot, 3,300.
Right. Let's do more World Cup next time you're on. It's coming.
You bet.
Before you know it. Paul Carr. Paul, great to see your face. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good to see you. Even you, Kelly.
Paul Carr, everybody. Masters update and more coming back on A Numbers Game.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Whoever you're taking us in, we appreciate it. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, my little buddy.
Hey.
You can follow me at Beating the Book. I never mentioned that except when I read the tweets, I guess. And Kelly, you can follow at Kelly by Delon. KelleyByDlon.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. The son of Thad and what's your mom's name?
Sue.
Sue.
Yeah.
Sue is lovely.
Sue is lovely.
How she got mixed up with that guy, Thad, I'll never know.
Well, it didn't last long.
Well, we get tweets, Beating the Book, too soon. Sorry. We get tweets.
Not too soon.
Steve, New York Football Giants 42. With the Thunder clinching the one, do we trust them in a Tankapalooza parlay? I'll hang up and listen. Steve, no more Tankapalooza plays. Just because, again, it's too close to the end of the season. And some of these teams, right, in the tanky situations, they can actually afford to win games now because their ping pong ball percentage is solidified. This is from...
Take it easy, Justin Rose. He's throwing up the putter out of disgust, but forgot to catch it.
By the way, of course we lose the first set tiebreaker with Chris Dea. Scottie Scheffler was on the par 5 too, which he eagled yesterday. Couldn't get it close to even birdie. Is when he has a long birdie putt. I didn't see what happened with that, but not gonna. Looks like he's not gonna score on that hole either. K-Flo is our survivor guy who was great to update all our survivor stuff. He says a numbers game has been pretty outspoken about technology, both clubs and golf balls making courses. Oh, ANGC, that's not us. Augusta National, mm-hmm. he's talking about, has been pretty outspoken about technology, both clubs and golf balls, making courses obsolete and the apparent resistance from the tour and its members to embrace changing either. This might be one of those weekends where Augusta's response is, fine, we've heard you're in action, so watch this. It's a great point. Steve the Proxy, I sure love betting baseball. I took an in-game under in the fifth of the Mets game after I watched every single fly ball but one die in the cold April air in Queens. Nolan McLean was throwing wiffle balls, and at 1-0, I told my friend, there will be no offense in this game unless a bullpen melts. In comes Puke Weaver, and the Mets lose 7-1. Welcome back, baseball. Yeah. Just Win Bets, baby, the podcast. They said, I love you guys. Hey, appreciate it. He said, names Joe DeFan and Shane O'Mac.
There we go.
Is that what your mom named you guys? Joe DeFan, Shane O'Mac. There we go. We finally got names. We need to send you guys some polos. Need sizes and colors, please. You needn't send us stuff, but we appreciate it. It's very nice of you. Rhodes knows. Back in my day, my guy, you only had to work about Chuck Norris, Sly Stallone, and Hulk Hogan kicking your butt. He used a different word. Not a golfing green. How soft are things now? That's right. People got upset with you for using that. I actually said it right after you.
Oh, man.
Repeating it. Speaking of the Masters, we got to get some Masters plays in before most of these guys tee off. Chris Velika joins us now, the Bear, El Oso, from Fox Sports, from his lair somewhere in the great state of Connecticut, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter, at Chris Velika. Ooh, what's that sweater you're wearing there, sir? Ooh, we don't hear
the hockey sweater here. Support my guy, Big Cat, in the NCAA Hockey Championship game.
You said Wisconsin sweater? Is that what you said? Your audio was cut off there.
It is. On Wisconsin.
Wisconsin versus Denver for the whole thing tomorrow.
Yep. Pioneers.
Yes.
Pioneers. Thank you, Randy McKay.
Let's go Pioneers. Yeah. Sorry, Big Cat. Okay, you have a bunch of round two bets at Augusta. What do you have?
Yeah, I played all of these already. Various juice available. You can actually get a better number on Cam Young. There's a 72.5 out there that you can little bit of a price. And I think he's going to go out and play well. I know he's going out in the late wave, and he's the rare under I have in the late wave. But he got it together on that back nine, or the second nine, I should say, to be Augusta yes. proper. I think he'll play well today, and I would even take a shot at him. Like, you could bet him top 20, including ties, at -138. He was a guy that a lot of people were high on. He kind of shot himself out of the tournament early on, got himself back into it. He could still, I think, be a factor in those placement markets. But Sam Burns, over 72.5, I think you're going to see him come back to the pack a little bit in the afternoon wave. Shane Lowry, I know Kelly was just talking about him being a guy you'd want. I don't know. I think I'm still a little skeptical of his form here, and I think over 72.5 is the way to go, especially all these guys going out in the afternoon when the course is going to get harder and drier. Wind shouldn't be too much of a factor, but the sun is just going to bake these greens into just impossible to land. Ashkay Batia over 72.5, Tommy Fleetwood over 71.5, Matt Fitzpatrick over 71.5, and Victor Hovland. I feel really good about the Hovland over 72.5, a guy who really has not played this tournament very well. Really no shot here at all to really do anything. I could see him putting up another 74 or 75. A couple other little notes that I was just kind of observing and looking at. You can play a lot of these players over under for first nine, second nine. I think you might be able to play some of these bigger names, even potentially under on the first nine. It looks like two is a birdie hole. I know Scotty didn't make a birdie there, which might come back and haunt him and bite him pretty significantly. But three obviously is gettable. Even the par three six, I think, is a little bit gettable. You've got the eight, the par five. So a lot of these first nines under 36.5 might be the way to go for some guys, because it looks like the second nine is going to be really tough, especially 15 again. And then I would look into the winner without Scotty and Rory. Again, I heard you guys talking about this, how it feels like it's a Rory or a Scotty. You were talking about Xander. Mm-hmm. You could get Xander, I think, at like plus 650 to be the winner without Rory or Scotty. You can get a bunch of guys, 10 or 1 to better, or better to be basically runner-up to Rory or Scotty. So that might be a way to go. Looking at, I think, like Patrick Reed was 12 to 1. There were some really good prices available on some players. So if you think this is going to be a Rory repeat or a Scotty comeback here, like I think a lot of people do, that might be a market that normally I wouldn't look at. That might be a way to try and monetize or increase your odds. Instead of playing a Xander top 5 or a Xander top 10, maybe place plus 600, plus 650 to be a winner without those two guys.
Yeah. Let's go back to a couple things. That's interesting. So a couple things. One, you gave the over-unders on a round 2 score. We were texting, the three of us, about this a little earlier. What's the juice you're paying on Sam Burns over 72.5 or Cam Young under 71.5, those types of bets?
Like, I have noticed if you look offshore, you can find a lot better prices than, look, in Connecticut, I only have access to FanDuel and DraftKings. If you look compared to like Tommy Fleetwood over 71.5 is minus 125. Shane Lowry over 72.5 is minus 110. I got Ashke over 72.5 at minus 105. Hobland over 72.5 was 105. Fitz over 71.5, 120. Over 125. Cam Young, you can get the under 72.5 at minus 138. Like I have noticed that there is a significant 10 or 15 cent difference between some of these offshore spots as opposed to what I was seeing earlier at DK and FanDuel.
Yeah, because that's what we were saying. Like the ones that exist here are just prohibitive prices.
It's one that I barely look at just because it's, I think Caesars is like the only shop here in Nevada, and it's like, okay, over minus 125, under minus 120, and you're like, what are we doing here? Like, I can't.
And these are things that I love playing.
Yeah.
Because even more so than a matchup, because a lot of times there'll be a guy that I want to play on, or two guys I want to play on, and then you'll, oh, what's this?
Right.
They're pitted against each other in the head-to-head. And it's like, okay, I'd rather just play. I think he's going to go out and play well today, or I don't like him today. I just want to go over or under their individual total. So these are things I really like moving forward.
Yep. Ding, ding, ding. Awesome answer by Chris. Because that's, yeah, how often does that happen with matchups? I'm like, yeah, I'm really high on this guy. Oh, wait, he's going up another guy that I'm really high on.
The other thing you mentioned, I don't want to gloss by this. You were saying bet someone over or under the first nine and then over or under the back nine. What are you referring to exactly there? Is that a pre-flop bet or is that while it's happening?
They have these for players who have not yet teed off. These who I noticed were at DraftKings, and I will say they have it. DraftKings has an unbelievable
Masters menu. We don't have that in town.
So you can bet, just for example, Brooks Koepka, over under 36.5, first nine score, under 36.5, second nine score, things like that. And my, I think, strategy for the day with some of these players might be to tend to look at maybe going under the 36.5 or whatever, 36, whatever it might be on the first nine, because I think the first nine is going to play a little bit more easier than the second nine. I think maybe the second nine, you might find an opportunity. I know everybody, 13 is a birdie hole to go, but there are probably a lot of other holes on the second nine that aren't going to be birdie opportunities today. So you could see a lot of 37s or so on that second nine. And I see you have the graphic up as well. I think my favorite bet of the day is just that Rory McIlroy leader after the second round. I don't see a lot of low scores today overall. I think if Rory goes out and shoots 71 or 72, and he's sitting there at minus 5 or minus 6, I think at worst, you're looking at a dead heat for that. But it feels like the way Rory finished yesterday, he is in a good position to be in the lead going into the weekend to repeat. I mentioned the Cam Young top 20. Ludvig Åberg is on the course now, and I think he's 1 under on the day. He's only like one shot at the top 20. Mm-hmm. He blew up 2 under or 2 over on the round yesterday. I think without the pressure now that he's kind of out of it a little bit, I think he'll probably swing a little bit freer, and I think you'll probably see him put up a pretty good weekend score. So Åberg top 20, including ties, was something that I jumped on as well.
And top 20, including ties for Cam Young as well, minus 138 from Chris. Your front nine, back nine, which we don't have in town, but glad to hear DraftKings has it, reminds us of our Chicago White Sox first five full game double results, where that was always a winning proposition in baseball. More with Chris, including horse racing, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NBA and NHL playoffs are almost here, and VSiN has free tools to help you bet smarter right now. No subscription needed. Head to VSiN.com and get free betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, plus free MLB and NBA prop projections, all available to you today. No sign-up required. And if you want everything VSiN has to offer, daily best bets, AI-powered matchup analysis, and 24/7 video and show replays, try VSiN Pro for just $9.99. Your first 30 days or save 50% with an annual subscription. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets. Just want to read a couple here. This is from 3Jacques3131. Joker MVP picking up steam at FanDuel, down to 50-1. Caesars at 40-1.
I did see a couple of the, I don't want to say ballots are starting to leak, but, you know, guys submit and then start talking about it, right? So I have seen a couple where Jokic is number one.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
He says, got to go clear my CLV trophy case.
Now, speaking of those, I believe the same two that I saw, one of them was Stan Van Gundy's, did have Jokic one, also had Cooper Flagg Rookie of the Year, and that number has come crashing down. We are back to about a coin flip.
Yep.
About minus 120 on Con now, is that what you said, Dean?
As it should be. As 130, it should be.
There you go.
Knepel minus 130, Cooper even money. As it should be. Knepel now the favorite. That's what I was talking about yesterday. I was like, there's no way that reflected reality when Cooper was that big of a favorite. Just one more here. This is from IG, The Perfect Flex. Good morning, gents. April 9th is my VSiN birthday. Happy belated. 7 years and running. I never tweet, just showing my appreciation. Thank you and God bless. Thank you,
Perfect Flex. Thank you for listening.
Appreciate that.
Does Bill send you a gift of some kind? Like a birthday present?
He sends gifts to everybody's VSiN birthday?
Yeah,
that's a lot of gifts. That's a lot of gifts.
Otherwise, I'll give you a crisp high five when you're in town next.
You with the crisp high fives.
It's the backup prize.
Scotty Scheffler even through three. Saw Justin Rose just stuck a beautiful approach shot for a short birdie try coming up.
Spieth just missed. Too bad.
And again, still Sam Burns, Rory McIlroy, 5-under, leaders in the clubhouse after their first round low scores. And right now, the low score of the day is shared by Sung Jae Im and Wyndham Clark, who are both 2-under. Clark, 2-under through 12. Im, 2-under through 6. Oh, pardon me, Tyrrell Hatton, 2-under through 6 as well. Sung Jae Im, 2-under through 14, pardon me. But those are the only three that are 2-under. Oh, John Rahm, who is below the projected cut, is also 2-under through 5. I beg your pardon. John Rahm, who is 4-over for the tournament. Right now, the projected cut is 3-over. I imagine that might move between now and end of day. Chris Felica joins us now, once again, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line from his home in Connecticut. The Bear from Fox Sports, where he's the emperor of the Bear Bets podcast empire, if you will. You were saying off air, you need John Rahm to get that cut, huh? To make the cut.
Yeah. I made one of those bridge jump type bets, the top Spaniard. I laid $6 on John Rahm to be the top Spaniard, which basically would mean he would have to beat Sergio and Jose Maria Olazabal. And, yeah, so we have a little bit of a sweat going now.
Yeah, Sergio had a great first round, right?
Good start for him today, though.
Yes.
Yeah, by the way, Kelly, Jordan Spieth really not happy with him for that scramble Jordan Spieth-esque par on 18 to stay under the 72.5 yesterday in the round one score.
Yeah, that was tough. That was tough.
Sergio with an even round 72 yesterday, 2-over for the day. So he's 2 ahead of your John Rahm best Spaniard bet.
Well, and I'll tell you, all three of us. Got to keep our eye on Zach Johnson here. I'm not liking this 2-over through 10 today. He is outside the cut line right now.
Felica-inspired wager. You know who to blame if this goes bad. The guy who inspired
I would never do that.
No.
I agreed with it completely.
I did too. All right, let's talk some horse racing today. Before we get to the Derby, you have some plays for us today.
Yeah, tomorrow. It's tomorrow at Keeneland, one of the last three-year-old. It's not really a prep race because none of these horses, I don't think, are going to go on to the Kentucky Derby in a couple of weeks' time after after the race on Saturday. But it is a race that I actually like a long shot in here. It's the 10th race at Keeneland tomorrow, the Lexington Stakes. I like the number three horse, Decisive Win, at 15-1. Doug O'Neill chipping from California, Kentucky. He usually pops at a price at a pretty good clip when he sends horses either to Keeneland or Churchill Downs. You look at this horse, second start, ran in a sprint race at Santa Anita, was sent off 3-1, was thought to be a good thing. Speed and Fate, a very common running line for a debut starter. Now you get a horse who's stretching out, who is bred to go a distance. I don't think this horse is going to need the lead here. You've got a lot of horses in here that might want to be on the lead, including the favorite Essam, who is a number nine horse. I am completely against this horse. So whether you like my horse, Decisive Win, or you want to fall on another long shot in this race, I would be absolutely against the nine horse Essam, who's 2-1 in the morning line, off of a romp in a seven horse field at Colonial. That is set to bounce the moon potential. Off the board type finish. The horse was 15-1 at Gulfstream in a debut race. So the horse really wasn't thought of very highly. Shipped to a lower track, romped in the maiden win. I think this is a regression. So I am completely against the favorite here. And the number three horse, Decisive Win, is someone I'm looking at very
decisive
well.
Decisive Win, the three horse at 15-1.
Can I ask a basic horse racing question?
Absolutely.
Chris, when you say you're against him, are there matchups that you're finding? What exactly does that mean? Or you're just betting around him on the card?
I'm betting around him. I will look for prices in that race. I know people who, if they are against a favorite, they will just look for maybe three horses to flat bet, and maybe you cut your winnings potentially.
Right.
But if you are very confident that the favorite's going to lose, if you're betting 9-2, 6-1, 15-1, and one of those hits, you're gonna come out ahead. But yeah, I will look to maybe not use that horse in pick threes and pick fours, and try and magnify and amplify my winnings by trying to bet around that horse.
Got it.
Really, in a race like that, you're not gonna get, unfortunately, matchups, or else I absolutely would be betting against this horse in matchups.
Real quick, if someone was betting the Derby today, best value is which horse, in your opinion?
Chief Wallaby.
Chief Wallaby. Okay. That's pretty much consensus. You and Drew being consensus here. Chief Wallaby, best value.
Just the way Bill Mott likes to prep a horse and get them ready to peak for that big race. I mean, I have a future on Renegade. I like Further Ado. I know the connections of the Puma, but I think Chief Wallaby is the price play right now.
Not to steal any of Paul Carr's shine, but you have some prem picks as well?
I do. One of them is a little bit to kind of piggyback off of what Paul was saying about Chelsea. They are a disaster. Their fans hate the team. The players hate the team. Enzo Fernandez is probably gone. Man City needs the 3 points here. I played Man City. They've really owned Chelsea as of late. I played Man City plus 115 on the three-way to get the win. And then today I played both teams to score in Wolves, West Ham. Wolves are going down, but they have been pretty frisky, even in their bottom position in the standings. Beaten Liverpool, drew with Arsenal. They played well, even with their fate sealed. West Ham, really, they need the win. They should win, but I feel pretty good. This is a both teams to score type of deal, and we could be waking up tomorrow morning with Tottenham in the relegation zone, which would be awesome.
Now, once upon a time, we counted the number of sports that you have come on this show and handicapped, and it got into double digits. Like, it's amazing how many sports that we do with Chris. I'm not sure the NBA, if we can count that as its own sport. We separate NBA and college or NFL and college football as two different sports. But I'm not sure we've ever done an NBA pick from you, or we've ever gotten one from you, but we do have one today. What is it?
No, I don't think so. And again, some people have an appetite for laying $3.60 on a money line. Some people don't. Maybe you want to parlay it with something else that you feel pretty good about. But the Hawks are going to win tonight against the Cavs. The Cavs are in a position where the Knicks' magic number for the three seed is 1. The Cavs can assure themselves the 4 seed by losing today, which would mean they would either get the Hawks again or potentially the Raptors in the first round, which is what they want. So I would expect to see a Cavs lineup extremely depleted today. It's nearly impossible for Cleveland to lose the final game of the season against the Wizards. So I would be using the Hawks here on the money line as an anchor with a lot of things today, because I think the Cavs are in checkout mode today, knowing that they want that 4-5 matchup. Avoid the Celtics in the second round when you can play the Pistons in the Eastern Conference semis.
Chris Felico on the NBA, everybody.
Let's go.
I hope
he's right.
It, right?
Racket.
I needed these Cavs to lay down the other night. I need two more wins from Atlanta. Two more wins.
They might get you there. All right, we leave you with this because we got to run. Who's winning the Masters, Chris? What's your hunch?
I think Rory's going to repeat. He looked super calm in the second nine yesterday. He looks at ease. He's loose. The fact that he finally knocked out, I think Rory's going to win.
I brought that up on the podcast, right? I think I might have brought it up on a numbers game, too. I'm like, if someone came to you and said, hey, Rory got the monkey off his back, he got the career slam, he got his Masters jacket, well, what if they said to you, well, he's loose now, he should win this?
Yep.
Not one person said, I wouldn't hate that logic. So far, at least after one round, so far so good for Rory McIlroy. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
Fezzik Fridays and more coming back on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.